Good morning again.
Good morning.
So we're staying in Hebrews in chapter 6. My focus this morning will be on the last two verses, 19 and 20. But as we begin, let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you now for this time where we can come and listen to your word. We pray and ask, Lord, that you may be with us, that you may help us understand your word. Please be with me as I speak. Please help us listen and open our eyes so that we may behold wonderful things from your word this morning. For we ask this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
So this morning we'll be focusing on verses 19 and 20, where the passage speaks of hope. The passage speaks of hope. The hope is one of the great themes of Christianity. It is one of the great pillars, if you will, of the Christian faith. It is hope along with faith and love that the whole of Christianity or the whole of the Christian life is founded upon. But this hope, this Christian hope, is not a simple trembling kind of hope. It is not a cross your fingers kind of hope or a hesitant hope, but this is a hope that is founded upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the promises of God. I love how this passage, starting from verse 13, speaks of the certainty of God's promises, speaking of when God promised to Abraham, he swore by two things. He swore by his word and he swore by himself. Two things that are unchangeable. The passage here uses unchangeable. Other translations say immutable. Things that do not change in verse 18. So when he says, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us, and then goes into our passage, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So this hope that we have, this Christian hope, this biblical hope, is that confident expectation that God's promises can only be one thing. They can only be certainly true. It is a hope that our salvation is one that is secured, one that is certain and will come to pass. It is a hope, as the scriptures put it, that is laid up in heaven for us. And it is this hope that is the trademark of the Christian faith. And the Christian's experience and the Christian's enjoyment of hope is always going to be in proportion to the Christian's view of God. And so we want to look at this morning hope. Hope is our theme. And it is this true hope that I want us to reflect on for the next few moments this morning. So I still couldn't figure out what to title this passage. I struggled for a while, but I guess one of the easiest ways to put it is just borrowing the words from this passage here, an anchor for the soul. Hope as an anchor for the soul would be the title that I would give it. And so this morning, we want to look at what our passage talks about concerning this hope, this anchor of the soul. And firstly, this morning, we want to look at the properties of the anchor. So right after verse 18, after he says, God has promised by two unchangeable things, and then he speaks of this hope that is set before us, he goes on to say, we have this, speaking of the hope, as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. And so we see here described for us are the properties of this anchor. It is an anchor for the soul that is both sure and steadfast. It is strong. It is an anchor that is certain, an anchor that is firm, and an anchor that is secure and reliable. But we look at the two words that are being used here. We have the one word sure and the other one steadfast. The word sure here, it is a word that carries with it the idea of having the ability to withstand things that are coming at us from the outside. As in the pressures that come from the outside. We can think of the trials that we face, the troubles that we face, the difficulties that come to us from the outside. We have this anchor that is sure, that is reliable, that is undisturbed by all the outside forces that are hitting in on us. It is an anchor that gives us peace from what is going on the outside. It is sure. It is outwardly undisturbed. It is an anchor in which, one, it does not drag. It is firm. It is grounded. It does not deceive, but it is trustworthy. It is sure. But secondly, the word that is used is steadfast. So not only is it sure, it is also steadfast. This word steadfast carries with it more of the idea of that inward firmness, that strength that is inherent to something. So you can think of it, it is strong because of what it is made of. It is strong because of what is in it. So here we have an anchor that is both sure, as in being secure, and one that is steadfast, that is strong, that is firm because of what it is made of. So it takes care of all the outside pressures that we would face. It also takes care of all the inside stuff that we sometimes in ourselves also generate. A steadfast anchor, you can think of it this way, is one that will not break. It is one that is strong because of its own substance. It is made of good properties. There is no fear of this anchor failing because of the strain that is put on it, because of what it is made of. It is immovable. It is always abounding. And this is the anchor of the soul. It is an anchor that is sure and steadfast. And if we're to think of a vessel, if we're to picture a boat, if an anchor is going to work well, there are several things that also must characterize this anchor. Not only should it be sure and steadfast, but it must also come with sufficient weight to secure the vessel in which it needs to secure. If this anchor is not going to fail, it must be heavy enough to do the job for which it is meant to function. An anchor that is going to work, an anchor that is going to function properly, must be of a quality, must be of a sufficient weight in order to secure the vessel. And so here we have an anchor that is sure and steadfast, and these properties exist in this anchor because it is an anchor that is forged by God. This is something that God has put in this anchor. God is the one who forged the anchor. And so this hope that we have is a gift of God. It is one that is given to us by God. It is an aspect of faith. This hope is what God has made. It is what God has given. It is one of those good and perfect gifts of God. It is a functional anchor. This anchor is one that God has given. And again, if we're to go back to our picture of a boat and an anchor in a boat, if this anchor is going to function as it's supposed to function, it needs to be fastened or secured in two places. The anchor is supposed to be fastened to the rope, and the rope supposed to be fastened to the boat that it is meant to secure. And so the anchor must be secured in two places. And so we can think of it this way. The anchor is to be fixed in our hearts by the faith which God has given, which God has implanted in us. And the anchor is supposed and then secured to the anchor. So we have that rope securing it to the boat and to the anchor. So we have the anchor that is sure and steadfast, an anchor that gets these properties from God, who has made these promises that are unchangeable. It is an anchor that we have that is sure and steadfast, an anchor of the soul. But what is the purpose of this anchor? What is the purpose of this anchor? Well, the text that is before us does not specify particularly what the purpose of this anchor is, but it is certainly implied, not only in this passage, but throughout the book of Hebrews. Look with me at chapter 2, right at the very beginning of chapter 2. The author speaks here, right, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it." There we have one example of the author using, again, this image of being in a boat, being on the water. So the purpose of this anchor goes without saying that the anchor is to hold the vessel in place. It is to hold the vessel and prevent it from drifting away on the current. And so the purpose is to hold and secure the vessel in the stormy gales that would come upon the vessel. It is to keep the vessel safe in sight of the shore. So an anchored vessel is one that is secured to the shore. But keep this in mind also. An anchored vessel, even though it is secured to the shore, it is still always going to be exposed to all the weather and the waves that would come against it. A vessel that is secured by an anchor is not exempt from any of the storms of life. The billows of the sea will come against it, but the anchor is sure, and it is secure, and it is strong and steadfast. So hence the ship will be held secure. There are many times when we are firmly anchored that we still feel as though we are adrift, as though we are being attacked by the waves and the storms of life. And at times they feel like they're overwhelming us. And at times we feel hopeless. But here we're told, even through the storms of life, we see that this anchor is holding secure. Even if the ship is tossed to and fro, no matter how the billows blow, this anchor is firm. This anchor is firm. So we have hope that is unaffected by the waves that come in our life, because we have an anchor that is sure, an anchor that is secure, that is steadfast. And this is only true for the believer. We have this stability. We have this security. This anchor is our security, and it only belongs to genuine believers, to those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians have an anchor for the soul that is both sure and steadfast. But thirdly, here we see where the place of the anchor is. He goes on to say in verse 19, after he has said, "We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain." So we see that this anchor enters in the inner place behind the curtain. And this is a very, very significant statement here. Where the anchor is within the veil. Now, the value of the anchor is only going to be in relationship to where the anchor is. If you're on a boat and the anchor is still in the boat, the anchor is not doing what it is meant to do. It is of no value seated there in the boat. An anchor that is simply dangling over the side of the boat is not going to secure the ship. The anchor must be fixed in two places. It must be secured to the ship, and the anchor must be tossed into the water to secure the boat, to prevent it from drifting. It must be fixed in two places. When the anchor is fixed on the boat and has been cast into the depths, the anchor catches. At times we may not even see where the anchor is, but the very moment it catches, we will feel that the boat is secure. So where the anchor is makes all the difference. And our text tells us that the anchor is within the veil. And this veil is very significant, because if we're to go back into the Old Testament, we all know what this veil signified. It signified that access to God was blocked. It was the veil that blocked the entrance into the Holy of Holies. And access into the Holy of Holies was only granted once a year, when the high priest would enter on the Day of Atonement. And when he entered the veil, it was just for a moment. That place behind the veil was a very mysterious place. It was a place where we had no access to go in apart from the blood of the sacrifice. And so in the Old Testament, the veil was blocked. The way into the Holy of Holies was blocked. But we're told here that we have an anchor of the soul, one that is sure and steadfast, that enters into the inner place behind the veil. Our anchor is placed where we cannot see it. Our anchor is placed, or has been cast, into the place where, technically speaking, we have no right to enter. But the anchor has been taken into that place by our forerunner, the Lord Jesus Christ. So all of this to say, the point of what the author is trying to say here is that this anchor, this hope that we have, is firstly sure, secondly steadfast, and thirdly it enters within the veil. This anchor is secure, it is certain, it is safe. This anchor is steadfast, it is firm, it is reliable. This anchor is lodged within the veil. And all of this to say is that this is where Jesus has gone. Jesus Christ, who is the object of our faith. Jesus Christ, who is the forerunner, who Hebrews speaks of. When you read through the book of Hebrews, it speaks of as the one who came down from heaven, took on flesh so that he would be just like us, came and conquered death. Listen to what he says chapter 2, verse 14 and onwards. It says, since therefore the children, speaking of us, share in flesh and blood, he himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not to angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope, has come to the earth. He took on flesh, died on the cross, rose again, and has gone now into the heavenly Holy of Holies as our forerunner. That is our hope. Jesus Christ, our forerunner, has gone in as a high priest, not in the order of Aaron or Levi, who had to offer sacrifices for themselves and then for the people, as we're told again right here in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 3, where it speaks of the priests under the order of Levi, saying, because of this, the priest had to offer sacrifices for his own sins and also for the sins of the people. These priests had to offer sacrifices for their own sins. They died and had to be replaced. They offered the blood of bulls and goats, which could never take away sins. But Jesus Christ entered into the Holy of Holies once for all with his own infinitely precious blood and his own indestructible life, and made atoning work for us. Jesus Christ, who is our hope, went into the holy, heavenly, holy of holies in the heavenly tabernacle, made the sacrifice, and we're told right at the very beginning of Hebrews, after he had made atonement for sins, he sat down. If we look back into the Old Testament, we see that there was no seat in the Holy of Holies or even in the tabernacle because the work of the priest was one that was continuous. It was never, ever done. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came, being a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, not under the order of the Levitical priests, he went in once for all, with his own infinitely precious blood, with his own indestructible life, made atonement for sins, and sat down at the right hand of God. And so this means that Jesus Christ is our hope. He is the one we look to. Our hope is personified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of his work, because he has gone as our forerunner on our behalf into the heavenly holy of holies, we now have access into God's presence. And we can confidently and boldly come into the presence of God. Because when Jesus finished the job, we know that the veil was ripped open and he left a way, a living way, into the presence of God. And so Jesus Christ opened the way for us. And when we put our faith in him, it is as though we are throwing our anchor to him, and it goes clear into heaven, and it is lodged with him within the veil in the heavenly holy of holies. And that is our security. That is our hope, that we are tied to Jesus within the veil. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is our forerunner, is our hope. That is our security. That is our eternal hope, that nothing can violate it because it is sure and it is steadfast. It is the hope that Christ's work on the cross was sufficient to pay for our sins. It is a hope that there is nothing that can cut our connection to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are anchored to the Lord Jesus Christ inside the veil in the presence of God. That is our security. That is our hope, that Jesus Christ is our forerunner. He has done what we could not do. He came and lived a holy life that we could not live. He died on the cross, a death we were supposed to die, and he rose again that we too will rise to eternal life one day. He is our forerunner. He went into heaven, and when I put my faith in him, I throw my anchor and it holds on to him. He holds it in his hands and he will never let go. We are anchored to Jesus. We are anchored to God forever. And that is our hope in life and death. Our security, our hope is that the person of God and that the purpose of God, the pledge of God, and the priest of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, holds it secure. He never loses his own. He is our forerunner and has gone in on our behalf, having become a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And so this is the Christian hope. We have a hope unlike any other religion, one that is sure, one that is steadfast, one that is a person who has done everything that we ourselves could not do. And these words of the author ring very familiar with the words of the hymn, "We Have an Anchor," which reads, "Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain?" He goes on to say, it is safely moored will it is safely moored, 'twill the storm withstand, for it's well secured by the Savior's hand. Though the tempest rage and the wind wild blows, not an angry wave shall our bark ever flow. And then he ends with these words: when our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by heavenly shore, with the storms all past forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. And so, speaking of this anchor, it is one, this hope, it is one that is eternal, a hope that is in heaven, that one day we too will make it safely to shore, having been through all of life's circumstances, all of life's trials, all of life's storms, and will run eventually into the refuge of God in heaven. As he says, speaking of us who have fled for refuge, having strong encouragement to hold fast to the through the hope set before us. And this is the anchor of our soul. This is the promise that we are safely secure in the Savior's love. Amen. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this great reminder of this hope that we have, a hope that is the Lord Jesus Christ, a hope that is in his work, his finished work on the cross, a hope that one day we too will pass from death to life. We pray and ask, Lord, that you may always help us remember this, that we have an anchor for the soul that is sure and steadfast and will never, ever break. We pray and ask, Lord, that you may continue to watch over us, continue to keep us hoping in the Lord Jesus Christ, that our lives may show that we have real hope, one that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So please be with us this day. Please be with us this week and watch over us. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.